In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are many Christians in the world today that believe that a simple declaration of faith in the Lord is all that is needed for salvation. Well, most of these, I wonder if they have ever read the Sermon on the Mount, which starts in chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew and goes through the 7th chapter. Because in those three chapters is a handbook for the Christian life, for what we are supposed to do, for how we are to act, for the things that we are to proclaim, step by step, all the way through. It's all right there. It's hard to miss. In today's Gospel, we follow immediately upon the Lord's telling us what the Beatitudes are. And the theme today seems to be light. And the Lord starts right off with, "You are the light of the world," which is sort of an amazing statement when you think about it, because over in St. John's Gospel, in the 8th chapter and the 12th verse, the Lord tells us that He is the light of the world. And yet, today we hear that we are the light of the world. That a city up on a hill cannot be hid. And you can see the light from all around. Isn't that true? As we drive around at night sometimes, even the smallest little towns or cities out in the country that are all lit up, you can see them for a long way away. Light is so much a part of the theme of all four Gospels that it's hard to escape. It comes down to us in many ways, even in our liturgical practices. The first thing we do when we come into the church, we take a candle and we light it. It's symbolic of the light of the world, of Christ the light of the world, of the risen Christ, of our prayers ascending to heaven. Light is something that is in big contrast with darkness, because the Lord speaks of the light of the eye. He talks about how the eye is the lamp of the body. And if the darkness is in there, how great it will be. But if it's filled with light, how bright it will be. Brightness is something that seems to come with the territory of the Lord. If we look in the book of Revelation even, we hear that there is never any darkness, but yet there is no sun, because the brightness comes from Jesus Christ on the throne of His glory. Again, not only the light of the world, but the light of heaven. So how are we supposed to be the light of the world if He is the sole light of the world? Well, it's because we are to take what is given us from Him and show it to everyone around us. Because what does He say? "Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify" who? Not us. "Glorify your Father which is in heaven." Again, this idea of the brightness, the radiance, the overpowering light that we should bring into the world is an astounding thing for us to contemplate. Because each one of us feels probably most of the time that there's actually quite a bit of darkness within us. That we are struggling with our sins, especially those sins which seem to repeat over and over again. That we make amends, we come to confession, we are seriously sorry for those things that we've done. We may even say that we are never going to do them again and believe them. And yet at the same time, we end up doing them again. And so we find ourselves at constant war with not light, but with the powers of darkness, with the principalities and powers of the world. It's something that we don't seem to be able to get away with. So what does the Lord mean when He says, "You are the light of the world"? Well, He's not saying that it's the same kind of light that He is. He's saying that it's the light that we all receive in our illumination when we are baptized. That's why we call it the sacrament of holy illumination, because it lightens up the soul. It brings light into the world. I've said it so many times that there's no one you want to be around more than a person who just emerges from the font. That is the greatest time to be around that person, and probably the greatest time in that person's life, because that light is given to them, and yet we are to take that light and do something with it. We can't simply stand around and think, well, now I'm illumined. Look at me. I don't have to do anything else. I just walk down the sidewalk somewhere and thousands will be saved. Would it were that easy? But it's not. But the Lord requires something of us. Christianity, Orthodox Christianity especially, is a simple yet tough religion. We've called it the show me religion because we just don't talk about it. We just don't believe that somehow all of our badness, all our sins are covered up. No. We believe that there has to be an actual, existential, metaphysical, transcendental change within ourselves as we go out to the world. It can't be simply that we are sinners and forgiven, and yet we go on sinning and not worrying about it. No. If that's the way we are, we're missing the boat entirely. We are not being Christians. We are not following Christ. The writer, Anthony Koniaris, Father Anthony Koniaris, says that if we have one unconfessed sin on our soul, that that can get in the way of the light coming into our body. That we have to purify ourselves constantly by repentance, over and over and over again, accepting that the Lord's grace that He gives us, taking some of that grace each time, needing it, letting it rise, make it a little better, a little bigger each time, and then we may sin again. But it doesn't matter. We do the same process again. We keep repenting. We keep asking the Lord for grace. This is what He's telling us in the entire chapters 5 through 7 in Matthew. That it can't simply be something that we take upon ourselves and think all is well and done. No. We have to show the world what is in us. St. Paul talks about that. He talks about how always being ready to give a good account of the things that are inside of us, the things that we know, the things that we believe. Today in his letter to Titus, he talks about doing these good works. Not that the good works are going to save you in and of themselves. They don't, and they won't, and they never will. But if you don't have them, if you're not actively living the life of Christ, doing the things that He did, that He told us to do, that He commanded us to do, then you're getting nowhere. It's not going to matter. We have to be actively living that life. We have to be actively changing ourselves, making good that grace that is given to us, acquiring that Holy Spirit, letting us be real lights to the world. Today we celebrate the 630 fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council who defeated the heretic Eutyches. Eutyches was the forerunner of Monophysitism, where he said that the Lord had only one nature, that His person, that His hypostasis, had only one nature. If that was the case, nothing happens to us at all. Because if the Lord has only one nature, a divine, what did He assume from us? What did He get from us? What did He take from the Virgin Mary's womb? Nothing. And so this was a big heresy. The Council of Chalcedon in the year 451 is a major, major council in the life of the church. And yet we mustn't think for a minute, since this gospel is appointed to be read on this day, we mustn't think for one second that somehow all these fathers did were to come together and to consider these matters theologically and then take a vote. And that was it. And Eutyches was out, and the defenders of orthodoxy were in. No, it's not like that. There have been too many councils, considered robber councils now, false councils, where that's exactly what did happen. And they weren't accepted by the church because they didn't reflect the faith of the church. No, these fathers that came together were the lights of the world. They, all of them, had achieved divinization. They all had put on Christ. They had prayed, they had studied, they had engaged in ascetic efforts, they had given alms, they loved their neighbors, they did all these things with their flocks. And when they came together, the Holy Spirit blessed their work in defeating this heresy and proclaiming orthodoxy. That's why the council is given today. That's why we celebrate holy hierarchs of the church, the same reading is done. Anytime we celebrate the holy fathers of the church, this is what we do. This is the passage that we read. Because the light is something that cannot be hidden. It can't be darkened. We can't take it. We can't light a lamp and set it under a bush. Why would you do that? Why would you light a lamp to begin with if you're going to hide it away? You can't do that. You have to take that light. You have to be bold with that light. And you have to understand that by lighting it in the first place, that you're taking a great responsibility upon yourself. That it's something very, very serious and very, very important. This gift that the Lord gives us is incalculably great. It is so great that I can't even begin to find the words to describe it. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in coming to earth and becoming man and taking our nature and deifying it, renewing it, taking it with Him into heaven. The second person of the Holy Trinity taking this nature into heaven is an amazing thing. It's a gift that we can't begin to comprehend, yet we absolutely must comprehend it. Because we can't sit back and do nothing in our Christian lives. Every single day, every one of us should be looking in the mirror and saying, how today can I become more Christ-like? What can I do? Starts with prayer. It starts with fasting on the fast days. It starts with coming to church, where the communal prayer helps more than anything to enlighten all of us. It starts by coming to confession, to cleanse your soul, to keep it clean, absolutely perfectly clean, so that the grace of God can fill your soul. It starts by going out into the world every day thinking first and foremost that no, I'm not going to my job as this, that, or the other, but I'm going out into the world to my job as a Christian, as an Orthodox Christian, and I have a responsibility because I have this light in me. I have this light that has to be cultivated. I have to show it to everyone. I have to prove to everyone by my works, by my deeds, by my life in Christ, that there is something different about me. That's what changes the world, my brothers and sisters. We can't sit idly by and hope for the best. And well, yes, I'm Orthodox. We've got a great liturgy. Smells pretty good. But yet, there's no change. There's no change in us. What good is that? Nothing. Nothing. You must be renewed in your souls and your bodies. You must take these things to heart. You must take this spirit that the Lord Jesus Christ sends to us and use it to cleanse yourself, to proclaim to all the world, as these 630 men did, what the true faith of the Lord is, why it is important to believe these things, why believing false things about God is not only incorrect, but a sin, because God cannot tolerate anything said about Him that is not true. These things are very important to us. Be that light. Everyone here, starting now, if you've been ignoring it, if you've been not paying attention to your spiritual life, wake up. It's time. It's time. Don't sit back anymore. From this day forward, move on with that light in your life. When you leave here today, know that you have the light of Christ with you, that you have the body and blood of Christ in your veins, that you are truly someone different. And that you've got to maintain that difference and increase it and increase it and increase it. For Christian life is like that of a shark. It doesn't stay still. It either goes up or it goes down. What does the Lord say in the book of Revelation to one of the churches? You are neither hot nor cold. I will spew you out of my mouth. These are harsh words, but true words, and we've got to remember them. Take that light that He gives you. Take it. He's given it to every one of us. It's here. It's here. Take it. Cultivate it. Pray to the Lord that He will grant you increase, that you can go anywhere in this world And someone just by being by you, by your side, in the same room as you, will know somehow, will be able to sense somehow that there's something different going on, and I want to find out what it is. I want to know more about it. So by the prayers of the 630 fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.